Job chapter 42. And our text for today is the verse 10. Job 42 and verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. If we could put a title to our message today, it would be Turning the Tide of Trouble. Eliphaz and his two friends had caused the wrath and the anger of God to be kindled against them. And the Lord reveals to them the reason. Ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right. That's why the Lord was angry with Job's three friends, because they had not spoken of the Lord the thing that was right. As the Lord says, my servant Job hath. This was obviously a very serious matter for Eliphaz and his two friends, having caused the thrice holy God to be angry. Serious indeed, when God is angry. Hebrews 10 verse 31 tells us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Text that will always be associated with Jonathan Edwards. But it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, especially when the living God is angry. And Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar had angered the Lord because they had not spoken that which was right about the Lord. So what will it be like for all those who have said all manner of evil against the Lord? For the hands of the living God, the holy God, the almighty God, are powerful hands. Fall into them and there will be no escape, but a fearful looking forward to of judgment. But for Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar, the Lord in grace provided a way of escape. For in verse 8, the Lord said, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. They were to flee to the place of sacrifice. They were to offer up for themselves a burnt offering. They were to go to the place of blood shedding, where the blood of beasts would be shed. And if they offered up that sacrifice, and the blood of the animal was shed, that would turn the wrath of God away from them. And for those today who have provoked the Lord God to anger by their own sin and by their actions against the Lord of heaven, God in grace has provided a way of escape. And once again, it's the place of sacrifice. It is at the place where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, shed his blood and died an atoning death for sinners. But for Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, the escape route not only involved a sacrifice, but it also involved the supplications of Job. The Lord said in verse 8, my servant Job shall pray for you. And then we read in our text, verse 10, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And here we can see that great things happen through prayer. Job prayed for his friends, and when he did so, God turned his captivity and gave him twice as much as he had before. As William Cowper wrote, prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above. And for Job, that's what happened when he prayed. Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. God turned the captivity of Job, the dark cloud of his captivity. God turned his captivity when Job prayed, when he prayed for his friends, turning the tide of trouble. So what blessings did prayer bring to Job, and indeed to his three friends? I want us first of all to consider prayer and the man of God. There cannot be any doubt about Job being a man of God. And indeed he was God's man in the place where he abode. In Job chapter 1, words that we have read and quoted numerous times in this study. In verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was not only a man of God, he was God's man in the land of Uz. Do we ever think of ourselves in that way? Wherever we live, do we ever think of ourselves as being God's man or woman in the place where we live? God has placed us where we are. He's placed us for a reason, to be his witness in that area. God has placed us here, and we trust this is God's witness here in this town. We look again at verse 8 of the chapter 1, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? None like him. He was a man of God. And he was God's man, and there was none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Since there was none like him in the earth, there was certainly none like him in the land of the country of Uz. The Lord never leaves himself without a witness. And Job was God's witness in the land of Uz, just as we are God's witness here. May we see ourselves like that, and being God's man or woman, God's witness, then wherever we dwell. I want you to notice, first of all, regarding this man of God, how Job was recognized. Job was recognized as a man of God. The Lord Himself testified to that. He was recognized, first of all, for his piety. A man of God is a holy man. And Job was one who feared God and eschewed evil. He was known for his piety, his hatred for sin, his separated life. He feared God and eschewed evil. When a man fears God, he will eschew evil. No one will be recognized as a man of God if he's not known for his piety, holiness of life and of character. That's how Job was recognized. Not only recognized for his piety, he was recognized for his practice. As we have seen, on six occasions, the Lord described this man of God as my servant. That refers to his practice, how he served the Lord. My servant Job. And again, the man of God will always be recognized as a servant of the Lord. One who serves God. You take that word servant that's used by the Lord to describe Job. That word servant there means a doer. Someone who is a doer. A man of God will be a doer. He will do what he can for the Lord. He will do what he can in his service of the Lord. He's a doer. So the Lord gave Job that title for a very good reason, because Job was a doer. He was recognized as a doer. Therefore, the man of God will be seen as a servant of the Lord. In Numbers chapter 13, Numbers 13, we read about Caleb. Numbers 13, and verse 30, Caleb, being one of the spies that went out to spy the land of Canaan. And we read in chapter 13 of Numbers in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. He's a doer. Let's go up at once and possess the land. For we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was a doer. Then look at chapter 14. And verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb was a doer. Let's go and take the land now. He was ready. And as a result, the Lord called him and gave him that title, my servant Caleb. Caleb was a man of God. Job was a man of God. And Caleb and Job were men of God, yes, and they were doers. They were the servants of the Lord. That's how they were recognized. And a man of God will always be recognized by his service, by his practice. Job was not only recognized for his piety and his practice, But as we all know, to this very day, Job is recognized for his patience. Job will always be recognized and remembered for his patience. That's how the Apostle James remembered him. James 5, verse 11, ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. In other words, James has said, you've seen how the Lord rewarded the patience of Job. Man of God is a patient individual. Why is a man of God patient? Because the man of God is resting and relying upon the Lord. He's not leaning upon his own understanding. He's not trying to work things out for himself. So Job was recognized for his piety, his practice, and his patience, and for his praying. The Lord informed Eliphaz, my servant Job shall pray for you. And no one may be described as a man of God or a woman of God if they don't pray. Prayer is really the life of the man of God. That's how he will be recognized. You turn, please, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 13. And in 1 Kings 13, we read in verse 6, and the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me. In the one verse, in the one sentence, we have the man of God recognized as a man of prayer. It goes on to say, pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Man of God is a man of prayer. Go over to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, here we have reference made to Elijah. 1 Kings 17 and verse 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You go on down the chapter. We know how the Lord took the widow's son, stretched himself upon him, and the child was brought to life. Look at verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, is truth. By this I know thou art a man of God. How did she recognize him as a man of God? Because he had taken her son and prayed to the God of heaven that the Lord would heal this woman's son. And it was because Elijah was a man of prayer that he was recognized as a man of God. That's how Job was recognized. Because the Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray for you." May we be recognized in the same way as men and women of prayer. No one may be described as a man of God who doesn't have a burden for prayer. Job most certainly did have a burden for prayer. We see how Job was recognized. And then we see, secondly, Job's readiness. Looking at those words again, "My servant Job shall pray for you." Mark the word "shall." "My servant Job shall pray for you." Does that not speak to us of Job's willingness and readiness to pray? Does that not indicate to us that God knew that Job would pray? There was no doubt about it. "My servant Job shall pray for you." See how willing Job was to intercede on behalf of his friends. You'll notice by those words that Job did not need to be prompted. Job did not need to be told. Job did not need to be commanded to pray. The Lord didn't say to Job, "You must go and pray for your three friends." No. Rather, it says, "My servant Job shall pray for you." In other words, Job was willing to pray. And when you think of all the things that his three friends said against Job, and the criticism, and the condemnation, and the chastising of Job, yet there was no reluctance whatsoever on the part of Job to pray for his friends, because the Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray." Notice also just how dependable Job was when it came to the matter of prayer. In verse 8 we find the words, "My servant Job shall pray for you." Now look at the words of verse 10. Job, when he had prayed for his friends, so Job could be depended upon, the Lord said, "My servant Job shall pray for you." And in verse 10, two verses later, the testimony is, when Job prayed for his friends. So he did pray. Wasn't a promise to pray and then that promise not fulfilled. Job shall pray, and Job did pray. He could be depended upon to pray for his friends. And all for the same readiness, willingness, dependability that marks our prayer lives, that will mark us out to be men and women of God. They can be depended upon to pray. For here we see just how ready Job was to intercede on the behalf of others. He obviously had a burden for his friends. Do the words not indicate that to us? Do the words not tell us that? He obviously had a burden for Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Because with great willingness, he prayed for them. See it, Spurgeon put, there has never been a man eminent for personal piety who has not always been preeminent in his anxious desires for the good of others and in his prayers to that end. Mark the words. There has never been a man eminent for personal piety who has not always been preeminent in his anxious desires for the good of others and in his prayers to that end. In other words, what Spurgeon is saying, a man of God will be a man of prayer and he'll have a burden for others. And he will pray for others. That will be the evidence that he's a man of God. Moses was one who interceded on behalf of others. Exodus 32, verse 32, we have the prayer of Moses when he prayed and interceded on behalf of erring Israel, saying, forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. There's intercession. There's intercessory praying. And Moses was a man of God. We would not doubt that, as evidenced by his prayer life. Samuel, another man of God, told Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Man of God. The people had rejected Samuel. They wanted Saul. And when they discovered their mistake, because Saul took everything from them, they went again to Samuel and they asked Samuel, pray for us. Well, the thing is, Samuel had not stopped praying for them. And that's what he says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in praying for you. He was saying, I have always been praying for you. Even though you rejected me, I kept on interceding on your behalf. That's the mark of a man of God. Add to this list of intercessors the names of Solomon, Hezekiah, Elijah, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, Abraham. They all interceded on behalf of others. And of course, the greatest intercessor of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever liveth, to make intercession for us. The Lord intercedes for us. The Lord Jesus is the God-man. You've only to read John 17. It has recorded the great high priestly prayer of Christ. And there we read how the Savior has prayed for us. John 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that, this is what the Lord's praying about for us, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's what the Lord's praying about regarding you and me. The Lord is praying that we will be kept from evil. The Savior is our pattern, our example, with regard to intercessory prayer. Job prayed for his friends. Christ prays for us. We are to follow his example. We are to pray for souls. We are to pray for sinners. We are to pray for the servants of God. We are to pray for ourselves. We are to pray for our loved ones. We are to pray for the work of God. That's what we are to do. That's what is expected of us. How often did Paul say to the various congregations he ministered to, brethren, pray for us? Or to the Ephesian church, brethren, pray for me. The preacher needs the prayers of the people of God. If Paul needed the prayers of God's people, where do the rest of us come in? We pointed out before that when C.H. Spurgeon preached to a congregation of 5,000 in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, down in the prayer room, 500 men met for prayer. While Spurgeon was preaching, 500 men were praying. They were upholding him at the throne of grace. They were praying that God would give him help as he preached the word just above them in the pulpit. And we wonder why Spurgeon had such success and such power and such a ministry. Because many prayed for him. Consider something else. Consider, had Job not prayed for his three friends, who would have prayed for them? Nobody. There's no mention of anyone else here. My servant Job shall pray for you. The Lord doesn't mention anyone else. And think of it, believer, when it comes to praying. If we don't pray for souls, if we don't pray for those who are not saved, those who are out of Christ, if we don't pray for them, who will? Who's going to pray for them? Who is going to intercede on their behalf? Nobody. The burden is upon us. And when nobody else would pray for Job's three friends, the Lord assured them, my servant Job shall pray for you. What a testimony this man Job had. A true man of God. Next thing we see about this man of God is that he was respected. Respected as a man of God. Twice over the Lord told Eliphaz regarding Job, him will I accept. Verses 8 and 9. Him will I accept. The Hebrew word rendered accept has also been translated respect. God says, him will I respect. And as the Lord would respect Job, he would accept Job. And accept his prayers. 1 Kings chapter 8. In 1 Kings 8, you see the word used there. 1 Kings 8. And verse 28. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant. This is Solomon praying. And in his prayer he says to the Lord, have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord, my God, to hearken unto the cry, to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. Have thy respect, or Solomon was asking the Lord, accept my prayer. And Job was told by the Lord, and the Lord told Eliphaz, him will I accept. I'll accept his prayers. I respect him. And I will accept his prayers. When you think of how often we have read in the scriptures about Israel and how the Lord's anger and wrath was kindled against them because of their murmuring, because of their criticizing of Moses. The Lord had no respect for them. The Lord threatened to cut them off. And only that Moses interceded on their behalf, God would have cut them off, because the Lord had no respect for them. He was not prepared to accept them because of their ways and their rebellion. But when the Lord looked at Job, the Lord said, him will I respect, or him will I accept. And in verse 9, the Lord also accepted Job. In praying for his three friends, the Lord said of Job, him will I accept. What a wonderful standing this was for Job. God says, I will accept him. And when I accept him, I will accept his prayers. This was Job standing before God. Think of that. A man who is not accepted with God will not have his prayers accepted. Job was accepted. But you see Job standing And you know something? We have the same standing with God. That's why our prayers will be accepted. Ephesians 1 verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's our standing today. We are accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ. And the Father will always accept the prayers of His Son. The Father will always answer the prayers of His Son. And what does that tell us, believer? It tells us that God will always answer our prayers because we are accepted. As Job was accepted. Now, the Lord will not always answer our prayers the way we want Him to answer. But nevertheless, He will still answer. No is an answer. We always want the Lord to say yes. He has heard our prayers. He will hear our prayers because they're offered in the name of Christ and they're offered by those who have their standing in Christ and are accepted in Christ. But He may not always answer those prayers the way we want. Nevertheless, He will answer. The Lord did not answer the prayers of Paul the way Paul expected. When Paul asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, the Lord didn't say yes. The Lord said, My grace is sufficient for thee. But we should always remember, we are accepted in Christ. That's our standing. That's why we can sing those words with great assurance. In the Beloved, accepted am I. Risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through His infinite grace, with the redeemed ones accorded a place. In the Beloved, accepted am I. God said of Job, Him I have accepted. And believer, the Lord can say the same about each child of God here today. Him or her, I will accept. I will accept their prayers. I will accept their worship. I will accept their praise. I will accept their service. And since we stand in Christ and the Father accepts us in Him, and since He accepts the prayer of His Son, He will accept our prayers too. So we have considered today prayer and the man of God. Next week, I want us to consider prayer and the mercy of God. And how through prayer, the tide of trouble was turned. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning. Let us unite our hearts now in prayer. Most loving Father and gracious God, how we thank Thee that we stand accepted in the Beloved. We are as acceptable, our Father, with Thee, even as is thine own Son. What is we rejoice, O Lord, in this petition, and we rejoice that Thou wilt accept our prayers when they're offered in the name of Thy Son. And, O Lord, they're offered from the lips of those who are accepted in Christ. Lord, bless this word to every heart. Lord, encourage us through the word to be men and women of God and to be men and women of prayer. Again, Lord, we think of Paul. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for me, that a door of utterance may be opened unto me. O gracious God, help us to pray one another for souls, for sinners, for the servants of God. Thy Lord, write this precious word upon hearts. Have us, Lord, to take Thy word to heart. May we not, Lord, be a hearer of the word only, but a doer also. Be with us throughout this Sabbath day. Bring us, Lord, to Thy house this night to learn more of Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.